Is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel radio serving all of Senla at 88.1.
The Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Everybody say, I'm a new creature in Christ. I've been reconciled to God. I have unbroken fellowship with him through the blood of Jesus. What's the third one? I am an ambassador of Christ. Say it. Say, I'm a representative of the kingdom. And then finally, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Now say it like you mean it. This time, look, y'all just repeating it. All you're doing is repeating what I'm saying. I want you to speak this. I don't want you just repeat me like a mockingbird. When I tell you to say something, I want you to speak that from your spirit with conviction. Don't be a mockingbird. Just mimicking? No, I don't want you to mimic this. I want you to speak it. There's power in the spoken word. Now you speak this from your spirit. I am a new creature in Christ. Now you're speaking it. See, you can't mimic the word. You got to speak it. And you had to speak it with conviction. You had to speak that word with faith in your heart because it is the truth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, I am reconciled to God.
Amen.
That ought to make you happy right there. I can have fellowship with God. Glory to God. He's my Father. Hallelujah. Don't let these truths slip from you. Paul put people in remembrance of what he said. He said, because you can let revelation knowledge slip away from you. And you can stop walking in what you know belong to you and not even realize that the devil done put you to sleep. Not even know you're sleepwalking. Say it. I am an ambassador of Christ.
I am an ambassador of Christ.
Now, when you say that, you ought to see yourself representing. Glory to God, I'm a representative. I better straighten up. Glory to God. I represent the kingdom. See, when you really believe that in your heart, it changes the way you see yourself. It changes the way you look at circumstances. It changes how you minister. It changes everything. It changes how you handle yourself. It changes how you handle your finances. It changes how you handle your relationship with other people. It changes everything in your life. When you know you are here as a representative and you're asking God all the time to give you grace to represent well. Father, I know I'm an ambassador. Help me to represent the kingdom well. I'm one of the ambassadors from heaven. Can you see the authority that he just gave you? You see who backing you up? You see you got a backing from heaven when you know, hey, I'm an ambassador. But see, most people don't take that serious. Well, I ain't nobody. They start saying, oh, I ain't nobody. I ain't nothing. That ain't what the Bible say about you. That's what's wrong. We don't believe what the Bible say. Say it again. So I'm an ambassador. For Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You're an ambassador. Say it again.
I am an ambassador for Christ.
Now believe that and start acting like it. Say it. Say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Now when you say that, stop looking at yourself. See, most times people say that they look at themselves and they see all their flaws and their weaknesses. You ain't supposed to be looking at you when you say that. You're supposed to be looking at the one that gave you his righteousness. You're supposed to be looking at Jesus because the Bible says he is our righteousness. So when I say I am the righteousness of God in Christ, my eyes immediately go to Jesus. He provided it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Y'all in Galatians 3? All right. Look at verse 26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Paul here is telling the Galatians how they got saved. He said, for you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. That's how you became a child of God. It wasn't by keeping the Ten Commandments. You didn't get saved because you kept the Ten Commandments because you broke every one of them. Just about. Probably ain't nobody here kept all of them. So thank God that ain't the measuring stick. thank God, God ain't gonna hold the Ten Commandments up next side of me and say, how you did? I said, all I can say is, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on me, Jesus. No, he took that and nailed it to the cross. Hallelujah. Does that mean you're not licensed to sin now? Absolutely not. See, how can you sin now? How can you want to continue in sin if you're a new creature? You've been reconciled. You've been made an ambassador. And God made you righteous. Now, why would you want to keep on sinning? What reason would you have to keep on sinning when God done all this wonderful work of grace in you? Put his divine nature on the inside of you. Something got to change. All the desire for sin have to diminish. You know, I got to decrease, he must what?
Increase.
He got to increase. So when you get saved, that's the decrease of you and the increase of him. Right? So my desire for sin ought to be waning. I ought to have to be losing the desire to do that. So I shouldn't be saying I'm saved and my desire to sin is getting stronger and stronger. Something wrong. I say something. Something is wrong. Now, for all the English teachers that we got in here, something is wrong. Right, school teacher like Ethel over there and Jackie. I say it right. Think about the impact of these statements and how these statements of truth and fact should be impacting your life when you realize that you are a child of God. You are a child of the Creator. You are one of God's children. You got to know that you are a child of God. And you have a Heavenly Father that knows everything about you and that loves you unconditionally and wants you to have the very best in life. And all he's looking for out of you is obedience. Just want you to love him with all your heart. Amen. Love equals obedience. Do y'all know that love equals obedience? Everybody say love equals obedience. See, you can't say you love God and then disobey. If you say, see, this is what we're talking about saying here. See, a lot of times we say stuff. We say. But we come short on the doing part and the obedience part. But your saying, and I'm going to put it this way, your obedience have to match your saying. That's why I'm saying we gotta walk the talk. Look at 1 John. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Look at this right here. It says, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. There's a scripture right there. He said, now I'm writing to you. Why? Why was he writing to them? So he said, I'm writing to you so that you won't sin. So we know that willful disobedience, willful sins, I mean, sins with your eyes wide open. You wasn't tricked. You wasn't bamboozled. You wasn't deceived. You say, that's a sin, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing not to walk in love because you know that's God's will. It's a dangerous thing to hold strife and unforgiveness. It's a dangerous thing not to trust God. These are all sins. Not trusting God is a sin. Because unbelief is a sin. The Bible calls it wicked and evil. There are some common things and some basic things that everybody ought to have as a foundation. Amen? There are some basic truths that we all have to agree on for there to be unity in the Spirit. Amen. All right, so when we strive for unity in the body of Christ, and specifically in this church body, when we start striving for unity and we want to be on one accord with one mind, with one heart, striving together for the faith of God, I'm going to teach on unity sometime. where we got to all be unity, but we have to be unified in the doctrine that we believe. What we believe out of the Bible, that there's some basic things that ought to join us all together. All right, one of them is the love of God. Everybody in here should be striving to walk in love. We should all be in agreement that love is the best way, right? There shouldn't be no wavering from anybody here saying, well, I don't believe in the love walk. There shouldn't be anybody in this church don't believe in walking in love. Because if we don't all believe in that, then we don't have unity in our body. Right? We ought to all agree that holding unforgiveness is a sin. We ought to be unified in that. Amen? We ought to all be striving for unity and peace and being on one accord. We're going to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's how you keep peace in a congregation. That's how you keep peace in your family. That a family had to all believe just alike, and they'd believe according to the will of God, according to the Word. Now, I'm not talking about a bunch of foolishness, but I'm talking about a family need to come together and say, hey, this is the will of God. We all going to agree that this is God's will, and this is what we're going to do as a family. And that may be different for everybody, because everybody's family got a different assignment. But at least the family ought to come together on some basic things and say, now, we're going to all agree for there to be unity in that home. We have to all agree that, hey, talking back is not acceptable. Children sassing, it's not acceptable. Everybody had to agree to that. Amen. Husbands and wives have to come in agreement that they're going to walk in love with one another, that love is going to rule the day. If not, then you see the devil got a crack. He finds a place to get in because there's no unity there. If we're going to have one heart and one mind, then we have to be united on what we believe. And then we had to be united in what we say we're going to do together. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, he said, notice he said, if any man sin, which means we're not supposed to be practicing it. Right? We all have to agree that sin is against the will of God. And that we're all going to agree that, hey, it is not the will of God for us to sin willfully. Can we all agree on that? Yeah. That means that when God reveals revelation, we say, okay, that's the will of God. The word's been rightly divided. All right, maybe I'm not doing that right now. Maybe I don't even believe that, but I see God done opened my eyes and, hey, what's being said is the truth. Then I need to make an adjustment. Instead of us trying to take the scripture and trying to fit the scripture to us and try to find scripture to justify what we're doing, we take the scripture and we say, okay, Lord, change me and mold me to the image of the scripture. Amen. Let the word live. Amen. 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 And I know that there's a fight in your mind. It's part of renewing your mind. All right, let's keep reading here. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the righteous, but what role is he functioning in when we sin? He's an advocate. So if I sin, I still have an advocate. It means that God's not going to blow me away. Because if I sin, I don't want to, but if I do, it's not the end of the world. I have an advocate. Somebody represent me at the right hand of God. See, when you sin, you need somebody to represent you. And Jesus is the good representative. Amen? Glory to God. Thank God we have an advocate at the right hand of God, and he's the righteous one. Amen? So if I sin, I repent, I forsake the sin, and I keep on walking. Amen. If I get off into sin, I repent of it, I confess it, I forsake it, I walk away from it, I set some boundaries in my life so I won't go down that road again, and then I ask God for grace to continue on, and God restores the fellowship, and he'll never remind you about the sin again. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You just keep on going. You can't do nothing about it anyway. It's done. Hallelujah. All right, listen to this. He is our propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That word propitiation means he's the cure, the atoning sacrifice. Amen. Hallelujah. He's saying, hereby we do know that we know him if we do what? That's obedience. This is how I know him. If I obey him, then I can say I know him. Everybody say, if I obey, I have the right to say that I know him. All right, look at the next verse. He that saith, here it is again. He that saith, He that saith, we're talking about lip sync here. He that saith, I what? I know him and does what? And keeping not his commandment is what? And what? If you say you know him and you consistently, I'm not talking about missing it every now and then, but you consistently develop a habit of willful disobedience, the Bible says you don't know him, you are a liar. He didn't say you told a lie, he called you a liar. He that said, I know him, keeping not his commandments, means don't obey, is a liar. If you just gonna say you know him, but you're not willing to obey, you're a liar. You don't know him. And the truth is not in him. Look at verse 5. Whosoever keepeth his word, obedience, in him truly is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. We say we was in Christ, right? Amen. You see this connected here? See, any man be in Christ? So we know we're in him when we're obeying him. You just can't say, I'm a new creature. You have to have the corresponding action, or the devil will make a liar out of you. Look at verse number 6. He that saith he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. That's where I got the scripture, walk in the talk. You see it there? He said, he that's going to talk about it, if you're going to talk it and say it, I'm abiding in Jesus, then you ought to be walking just like Jesus walked. And he gave you everything you need to walk just like him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He gave you his name to use. He said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I'm going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. If you'll ask anything in my name, I'll do it. You see that? So I should be walking just like him. I shouldn't just be saying I'm a new creature. I shouldn't be just saying that I'm an ambassador. I shouldn't be just saying I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Those words have to be backed up by a lifestyle of obedience and conviction to do the will of God. Hallelujah. If I don't take the next step and say, okay, I'm going to put this into practice, I'm going to obey God, then guess what? Then I'm going to end up being a liar. He that saith, see, John, he's on this now. Look at verse 9. He that saith, evidently he run into this. People are all saying the right thing, but they don't have the fruit to back it up. He that saith he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. So he say, if you say that you in the light, but you got hatred in your heart, he say, you still in the dark. He's saying, don't you be deceived by this. You have to obey God all the way down the line. You can't have no errors in your life that's off limits to the word. This is the way it is. We got to walk like he walked. Look at it again. He that saith. He that saith. Now, you're supposed to say it. I ain't bashing you for saying it, because you're supposed to say it. If you don't say it, it ain't going to happen. You got to say it. But you got to have more than just words. See, what did Jesus say in Matthew? He said, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart far from it. In other words, their heart done disconnected. I mean, they're not seeking the will of God. They just want to say the right thing. Just saying by itself is a good camouflage. If the enemy want to come into the camp, all he got to do is put on a good camouflage. Learn the lingo. know the right time to say hallelujah. I mean, all he got to do is put on the clothes. You know, the wolf in the sheep clothes? That's how he do it. He camouflaged. He say all the right things. And the Bible said that there are many people be deceived by fair words and speeches. People be deceived. Jesus said, you know a prophet by the fruit he bears, not by the words that he speak. John is jumping all on this. He that said he abides in him ought also to walk even as he walked. Now, how did Jesus walk? Let's talk about how he walked. So we'll know how we're supposed to walk. All right? First thing, he walked in obedience. His desire was to please the Father. His number one mission in life was to see God's will accomplished. Hallelujah. He said in John 8:29, he said, I do always those things that please my Father. So if you're going to walk like he walked, then you have to have the same mindset that he had. And he has revealed to us his mindset. In fact, the Bible says we have the mind of Christ because God gave it to us in the scriptures. Hallelujah. So if we're going to walk like he walked, we had to walk with a desire to please God. I always do those things that please my Father. Jesus said, he said, the Father works and I work. He said, whatever I see the Father doing, that's what I do. He's saying the Father loves me and he shows me what he does. He's saying, now I know what to do. See, when you're in close fellowship with God, when you're walking in fellowship with him, because you're an ambassador, you're a new creature, you're one of his children, he can talk to you on a regular basis, then he's going to show you what he's doing. He'll show you what he desires to do. And he'll say, now go do that. You just do what you see him doing. He'll show you what he's doing. You see, when that crowd came to him, the multitude, the Bible says he asked his disciples, what y'all got? They said, we got just a few stuff here. The Bible says Jesus asked him that, but he already knew what he himself was going to do. Why? He already saw the Father feed the people. So he just did what he saw. He already saw Lazarus raised from the dead. Why? The Father had showed it to him. I'm going to raise him from the dead. Jesus already saw that. And then when he got to the tomb, what did he say? Father, I thank you that you hear me and you always hear me. He said, I'm only speaking for their benefit. He said, I ain't even got to pray out loud. I'm doing this so that they'll know that it's you that's doing it. How else did he walk? He said, I seek not my own will, or I seek not my own glory, but the glory that comes from above. So you can't be a glory seeker if you're going to walk like he walked. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How did he walk? He walked in love all the time. Jesus walked in love. He said it. He gave us a commandment. He said, a new commandment I'm giving you. He said that you love one another, not like you love yourself. See, he changed it. He said, I want you to love each other like I have loved you. That put it on a whole nother level. Why? It's possible now. Why? Because the love of God's in us. Romans 5:5 says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost who's been given to us. So he walked in the love of God, and you can walk in love because that love is in you. Everybody say, the love of God's in me. Say it again. Say, the love of God's in me. Don't parakeet it now. Just say it. Say, the love of God's in me. Say, I got it in me. Glory to God. I got the love of God in me. It was put in there by the Holy Ghost. Don't tell me I can't walk in love. Why? I got it on the inside. How else did Jesus walk? You know he walked by faith because he heard a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son in whom I am what? Well pleased. Well, doesn't the scripture say that without faith, it is impossible to please him? So when the Father said, I am well pleased, then there must have been some faith being released. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in Romans 12:3,